KBOO and the Quinta Street Theater are proud to present a music documentary that raises the bar for the genre. Arrows into Infinity, the new documentary about the life of jazz musician Charles Lloyd, Thursday, April 9 at the Clinton Street Theater. Arrows into Infinity takes us on Lloyd's journey from the heights of jazz rock royalty to his life in seclusion and back again. Arrows into Infinity, the Portland premiere, Thursday, April 9, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton, Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Welcome to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Conser, and we are live in the studio today with two guests who will be participating next week in the second annual Linework Northwest Comics and Illustration Festival. Sam Marks is the co-organizer of Linework. He's been responsible also for the Small Press Expo event on the opposite coast outside of D.C. Welcome, Sam.
Welcome. Thanks for having me.
And also, we're joined, we're welcoming back to the studio, Anthony Alvarado. Anthony is the author of DIY Magic, A Strange and Whimsical Guide to Creativity. Originally published by a local shop, Floating World Comics, DIY Magic is being released in a new and expanded version by Penguin Group. Congratulations, Anthony.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I'm really happy that it's back in print now.
Well, speaking of expanded editions, Sam, Linework Northwest, it started last year, and it's a much expanded festival, and it covers illustration and comics.
Yeah, definitely. So, as you said, we're expanding. Last year, it was just one day, and we had about 80 tables, and this year, we moved it up to 2 days, and to expand it even further, because we didn't actually want to go to a bigger space. We really like the Norse Hall. We decided to kind of do like a music festival thing where each day has a different lineup, which I think is pretty cool. Most festivals, you know, they keep the same folks for 2 days, and this way we get double the amount of exhibitors.
Yeah. So this is, okay, so last year you had a bunch of panels in the bar at the Norse Hall.
Mm-hmm,
and so there's a lot of drinking. It was very active while the panel discussions were going on. Changing that around a little bit this year.
Yeah, we're moving them upstairs. The panels will be at a very nice room, and they're going to be pro shot, pro audio. So all those will be up online also. And if we shot at the bar, we might not be able to do that because there'd be, you know, sounds of people drinking in the background. But this also allows for more space for people to drink, and like last year, you can bring your drink around while you're looking at the tables.
So Linework sort of picked up where the Stumptown Comics Festival left off, which is it's creator driven. It's mostly local people, although you certainly have some celebrities. Celebrities talking about Northwest legend Pete Bagg is one of them. But everybody sort of mixes and mingles. There's no real hierarchy going on. You just have some really interesting panels, some people doing their thing.
Absolutely. It's you know, there's definitely a focus on the Pacific Northwest. I would say a solid half of our exhibitors are going to be from Portland or Seattle, but we do have a number of Californians coming. We're really excited that we're bringing in Nobrow Books. They're from England. And actually, one of our guests, Dongeri, is a collective from Norway. So we're actually going to have some Norwegians there, which I think is fantastic.
And so we're kind of bringing together some tribes. It's not just comics, it's illustration as well. And so maybe there'll be some graffiti art, some poster art. I mean, what can everybody expect when they show up?
Absolutely. Graffiti art, poster art, as you said, stationery, prints, things like that. We really wanted to make it an emphasis on art and comics and illustration. I think a lot of these shows, they focus very heavily on comics, and we wanted to show that actually the intersectionality of the two is huge, especially in a town like Portland. So people can go there and buy cards, I imagine, or, you know, your greeting cards and things like that. Maybe not like a Hallmark card, but, you know, something that's nice and is going to look good, and, you know, maybe some great gifts and things like that. If you're interested in art and not necessarily comics, we hope that there's a lot of stuff for you as well.
Yeah, that's what I love about an event like Lineworks is there's just a mix of all this different stuff. Instead of it just being like there's this one category and you're either in this boundary or not, there's a lot of different stuff going on from different kinds of art, different kinds of genres, and it's a great mix.
Right, and Anthony, your book, DIY Magic, that includes a lot of local and, you know, international illustrators, and we're going to talk more about that book, and you're going to be at Linework as well.
Yeah, I'll be there on Sunday, the second day, at the Floating World table signing copies of DIY Magic, which just came out this week, so I'm really excited for it.
Now, this is interesting. This is mostly taking place Saturday and Sunday, Sam. So, but there's really going to be different programs both days. It's not so people need to show up both days if they want to catch everything.
That was the point. We wanted people to come both days because there's just going to be so many different things to see. And even into Friday and Sunday evening with the different events, we have an opening gallery party at Hellion Gallery downtown on Friday, which is going to have art from the special guests, as well as we're going to have some Grid Lords events and after parties on Sunday. So it's a full weekend of stuff that you kind of have to go to everything to see it all.
And actually, it gets going a week from today on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they'll be signing at Floating World Comics.
And Floating World downtown on 5th and Cooch. So what are some of the highlights? Tell us about some of the, well, not just the big events like the parties, but also some of the smaller stuff that'll be really interesting, the panels, the guest appearances, that sort of thing.
Of course. So, you know, like I said, we're going to have kind of two different lineups, but we will have some anchor tables. So that's going to be Fantagraphics, books. Dark Horse, Oni is going to be there. We're bringing in Ad House Books as well as Telegraph Gallery from Virginia, Nobrow, Alternative Comics from California. They're going to be there. So a lot of people that are going to be there both days and bringing heavy, awesome talent. In terms of panels, we're going to be doing some one-on-ones with all of our special guests, Dan Klaus, Lisa Congdon, Lisa Hannah-Walt, and Jay Howell. We're going to do a few other panels like about freelance illustration and how to make it as an illustrator. I'm really excited we're doing a panel about modern portraiture and kind of how that plays into the illustration world and how portraiture has kind of changed over time.
Nice.
A few other really cool panels I'm looking forward to. We're going to do one about the intersectionality of creativity. I'm not sure if that's actually not, the
when's
title.
When's that? I want to go to that.
But it's essentially comic artists that do other cool stuff. So, you know, people that play in bands or are tattoo
There's
artists.
There's a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
You know, Art Spiegelman said, I've lost so many comics artists to rock and roll bands.
Yeah, so we're going to do a panel on that and kind of how to manage that. And it's kind of funny, actually, what one of my buddies who is going to be on the panel, he said, I just thought you should know before I go up that I'm leaving tattooing to do comics full time. Can I still talk? I'm like, yeah, it's totally fine. It's, you know, you can talk about how you managed it before.
Well, Sam, you are, you don't consider yourself an artist yourself, but you are just so much of a fan of the lively arts, and you've been helping not just Linework Northwest, but also the really well-respected Small Press Expo. So you like these creator-driven festivals and conventions where creative people are really running the show. It's not movie studios. There's not scantily clad models, things like that. It really is just giving power to the people who are creating this content, this work.
Absolutely. So I've been involved in organizing independent comic conventions for about 5 years now. And it's exactly as you said, we want it to be about the people. And it always boggles my mind when you go to a larger show and it's kind of a hassle to see somebody that you really want to talk to and you respect their work. And I just want to facilitate that environment where you can walk up to somebody and say, I'm really glad that you wrote that. And this is how it touched me. And then they talk about it for 5 minutes. I mean, obviously not everybody's so friendly, but you want to facilitate an environment where everybody's kind of on a level playing field.
Yeah. Less of a hierarchy, more of just like anarchy, huh?
Yeah, why not? And add some alcohol with the Norse Hall bar and we're good.
Well, there's a very famous comics festival down in San Diego where the artists are kind of available in what's called Artist's Alley. So, you know, the whole main floor is it's kind of hard to find an actual person that might be your hero.
Mm-hmm. My favorite question when organizing a show like Linework is, are there tables available for the Artist's Alley? I'm like, the whole show is the Artist's Alley. It's not an alley. It's an artist's room. So,
and let's not forget that there's also a sort of multimedia aspect to Linework Northwest. And well, a big part of that is, I think it's Sunday that you're doing the Grid Lords mm-hmm. show at a Hollywood Theater.
Absolutely. Yeah, the Grid Lords, they're very interactive and do a lot of mixed media. So we're really excited to have them as part of it. But also, both Jay Howell and Lisa Hannawalt are our special guests, and they've been heavily involved in animation. Lisa Hannawalt, her show BoJack Horseman has been kind of a pretty big deal with Netflix. Yeah. So we're super excited to have them, and there's definitely an animation aspect as well that we're trying to incorporate along with the comics and illustration.
Well, give us a quick, before we take a break here, give us a quick rundown of how people can find out more about Linework Northwest.
You can go to lineworknorthwest.com. We also have a Twitter at Linework Northwest. There's a Facebook page. We've also set up an event on Facebook, so you can RSVP to get all the updates and stuff like that. But I would say lineworknorthwest.com. And actually, I on the website, there's also some great creator interviews that are really worth reading.
Well, you're listening to Words and Pictures on KBOO. I'm your host, S.W. Counser, and my guests today are Sam Marks, the co-organizer of the Linework Northwest Comics and Illustration Festival, and Anthony Alvarado, author of DIY Magic, A Strange and Whimsical Guide to Creativity. We're going to read some and get some excerpts from DIY Magic in just a minute, and we're going to come back to Words and Pictures and talk more with Sam and Anthony. We'll figure out something. Hey, welcome back to Words and Pictures. I'm S.W. Conser in the studio with Sam Marks from the Linework Northwest Festival. And Anthony Alvarado is joining us again, DIY Magic author. This is a book, Anthony, that you originally put out with the Floating World Comics people. And this is much expanded now. It has new artwork and new ideas. DIY Magic. The idea here is you're giving people some guidance in how to bring down the magic from, what is it, the Jung would call it, the creative unconscious?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think tap into the magic that is already in your own self, in your own imagination, the creativity that I think everybody has. And I think that often we just need to learn to expand our awareness and look into the peripheral cracks, nooks, and crannies of our mind in order to tap into these creative ideas that are kind of like always flowing there within ourselves. So it's a book of tricks that you can try. There's everything from getting a vision of your hypnagogic imagery that happens when you fall asleep every night. There's a trick to, it's called dropping the spoon. As you take a nap, you relax your hand and let go of a spoon that you are holding while you're trying to take a nap, and it wakes you up, and then you'll remember the stuff that you were dreaming, and that can be very powerful for creating images and ideas. And so there's a lot of different weird little techniques like that.
Well, this is like a step-by-step guidebook here. It's like you've got this shamanic instruction.
It's a recipe book, yeah.
Right, right. In all these different chapters for things like going out into a familiar environment and seeing it like a tourist, for
example. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Getting lost in your hometown is one. And there's a vision quest chapter. There's lucid dreaming. There's an invisibility technique, which I'm not going to give away because I want people to buy the book to find that
people
out.
People can be shapeshifters, you're saying.
Well, you can shapeshift your own perception. And I think that when you change your perception, that changes the reality that you're experiencing.
And you've got some amazing illustrations here from Farrell Dalrymple is one of the illustrators. He's a friend of the show, and he'll be at Linework Northwest. Also, some of the other folks that are contributing to the book here.
Yeah, Farrell and Jennifer Parks are both going to be with me tomorrow night at Pals at 7:30 to do a reading for DIY Magic, and we're going to do a panel about creativity after the reading.
So this is at Pals City of Books downtown.
Pals City of Books downtown tomorrow evening. So please come check that out. And then there's a lot of people that contributed drawings to DIY Magic are also at Linework. We've got Farrell Dalrymple, Ian McGeehan, Luke Ramsey, Malachi Ward, Amy Kutab, and a whole bunch of people. In fact, some of the people that contributed, I met them at Lineworks last year. So it's just a really great place to network and meet artists and creators. So,
well, this is a really fun book. You how about let's give our listeners a sample of what they can expect if they pick this up maybe tomorrow night at Powell's.
Sure, yeah. This is from the introduction, what I talk about when I talk about magic. Superstition is rooted in a much deeper and more sensitive layer of the psyche than skepticism. Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. Technique. Read this book and try the experiments presented here. Change them as you see fit. You are the one in charge. These are just beginning points. Reading this book with an open mind will change the way you think about yourself, about creativity, and about the world. Think of this like you would a travel guidebook to, say, Guatemala or the Czech Republic. If you buy the book, you better plan on actually going there, right? This is not a book merely to be read. It is a book to be lived.
Now, a lot of the techniques in here, I'm reminded of the early days of improv training back in the mid 20th centuries. You know, people like Viola Spolin and Paul Sills and the Compass Players in the Second City, they would go out into the world and do theater. And some of the later incarnations of that were, say, the Merry Pranksters.
Yeah, the Merry Pranksters, King Kesey.
And this seems like almost, this is like something you can do these things by yourself. You can be the person who sort of breaks the wall of the everyday. One chapter in here is called The Flaneur.
Mm-hmm.
This is, what's the difference between just a hiker and a flaneur?
A hiker's out in the woods. Well, no, a flaneur is somebody who is kind of almost dancing with the psychogeography of the city around them. They're interpreting the architecture, the things that they are experiencing, the people, the windows, everything that is going through your ears, your eyes, even the smells, everything that you're experiencing when you're walking through a city, letting that kind of being aware of how that plays upon your own consciousness and how that's making you feel, and trying to kind of just really inhabit the experience of walking around in a bustling town. It was a practice that came out to us from like the Dadaists and the French and the turn of the century. Everybody was strolling around with industrialization and cities were exploding. People were like, this is a phenomenon. Like experiencing a city can be as much of a kind of a mind bending experience as like going out into the woods on some kind of like vision quest. So it's just kind of like the city dweller's version of like a vision quest out in the woods.
Yeah, I remember Alfred Jarry, who was the author of Per Ubu, used to just do crazy stuff. He'd dress up as a priest. Uh-huh. Somebody would ask him for a light and he'd take out this little tiny carbide pistol and blow the tip off their cigarette, things like that, you know. Which, of course, you'd end up in an orange jumpsuit suit if you tried that nowadays. But you can certainly do, equally interesting things if you get past sort of the self-consciousness of what being a respectable citizen is about.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of overlap between, like you're mentioning, the sort of the surrealists and these performance artists and the role of like the shaman, the magician, and that sort of thing. And then also just the artist and the creator. I think that these are all roles that are tapping into something primal, something that, as you were saying, Jung would call the collective unconsciousness. This it's all different ways of kind of inhabiting this really creative space that can be a little bit hard to access sometimes. So this is a book of kind of simple entry points into that other way of experiencing reality.
Yeah, you have a build your own tarot deck.
Yeah, that one's a lot of fun.
Here. Well, you know, I mean, it's really an interesting thing that happens nowadays is you've got so many people who are taking a literal view of mythological thinking that was never supposed to be the case. And we really have lost that window to get out of our conscious minds for a second and just access all of that weird sea that's underneath everything. You know, and you're talking about the tarot as kind of it's kind of an access to psychological states, you know, but it's doing it in kind of a roundabout way not so much. It's letting go of that Western kind of rationalism that we rely on all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, like with the building your own tarot, it's the idea is kind of to take some of these ideas that there have been a lot of layers, accretions of like symbols and interpretation and stuff that's made it kind of academic. And it's like, let's kind of knock that all out of the way and get back to intuition and magic and creativity in like its rawest forms. And I think that's something that we all had access to when we were children. You know, we all remember like make believe and the power of the imagination when you're young. And then as like I was telling Sam right before the show, you know, when you're a kid, you're like you're reading books and they have a lot of pictures. And it's like the pictures kind of shrink and shrink the older you get until at some point it's like, well, you're an adult now. You can't look at books with pictures. And, you know, I think that that's part of what I love about DIY magic is it's a picture book as well as a book of writing. So I think that that kind of collaboration between words and pictures is really awesome.
Well, and neither you or Sam consider yourself artists, but
I beg to differ. Well, I think writing is definitely an art form.
Well, okay. So
not a visual
that,
artist,
but it's
that's true.
A lot of writers would not necessarily look for illustrators.
Yeah.
That say this is a serious
right,
book.
We right.
don't want drawings in here.
Yeah, and that's really sad. You know, I think that that's just one of these weird boundaries that I don't know where it comes from, but it's like, well, drawings are illustrations are fun, and you know, reading should be kind of like challenging and tough and academic, and that's boring. You know, I want to see more and more books, more and more writers kind of start to bring in illustrations. Wouldn't that be awesome if that was kind of the norm? If you go back to like Charles Dickens days, you look at those old books, every chapter opens with this awesome like engraving, you know, and why not?
And William Blake was a poet
right.
and a painter.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, so you're listening to Words and Pictures on KBOO, speaking of poems and paintings. I'm your host, SW Kontzer. My guests today are Sam Marks, co-organizer of the Linework Northwest Festival, and Anthony Alvarado, author of DIY Magic. So this is interesting. Both of you guys are, you know, we talk about how everything's being done online nowadays, and you guys have championed what would be considered maybe 20th century forms of interaction. Anthony, you've got this book in paper and bound, you know, it's DIY magic in paper form. And Sam, you're doing a get together in a certain place, Norse Hall convention, with artists who have a lot of stuff mainly on paper, on poster board, in zines, in book form. So this is, I mean, is this an opportunity to get away from sort of the virtual world, from screens for a while, or is it something that complements that scene?
I think it's absolutely a chance to go and feel some real paper. I really like doing that. Yeah. And I think there's been a lot of emphasis on, you know, screen printing and also risograph. Risograph is really big right now, especially with a lot of the folks that will be exhibiting at Linework. And we just want to kind of remind people that it feels really good to look at something, whether that's a book or an image or whatever it is, even if it's like a little postcard. When you can hold it in your hand and look at it, it feels really good.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like, I mean, that's something that I talk a lot about in my book, is that we have to kind of put a limit on technology because it can... there's a quote by Thoreau who he said, men have become the tools of their tools. You know, at what point is your phone like driving you? And now you can strap a watch on so that, you know, it's always like dinging and flashing and stuff. So I like to try to get away from that. And I have a chapter about unplugging one day out of the week and just trying to, it's hard to do.
Internet Sabbath, they're calling it.
Yeah, yeah. And I, you know, I think that that's a really healthy thing to do. And it's also, you know, it's great that you can connect with people on social media, but it's so much more meaningful and real to go to an event like Lineworks Northwest and you see all these people that you're familiar with them on Twitter or you're familiar with them on Facebook, but to see them in real life and meet them face to face. So
I would second that meeting people that I've met online at shows like Linework is kind of what makes a lot of it worth it. I mean, obviously there's the great art, but the people that make the art is really important, and you can interact with somebody all day, you know, via tweet, but to sit down with them and shake their hand and have a coffee or a beer or
it's so much
just
more
talk,
meaningful. Follow me on Twitter, ANTH_Alvarado.
Well, there's a lot of studios growing up around town. I think Periscope Studio was the first in Portland, and there's a lot of others that have followed that model of having a space where artists can get together, even if they're not necessarily working on the same thing, on the same project. They may be working on contract projects for different publishers. Yeah. However, they're in the same room. They've got a copy machine, a fax machine. They've got a scanner. They have people that will model poses for them. They can take pictures. They can get
Is that
ideas.
Here in Portland right
yes,
now?
Yes, it's here in Portland at Periscope Studios. Cool. So, and again, it's not all superhero people. There's a lot of alternative and indie comics people who are part of that scene. There's web comics people. But that ability to bounce ideas off of each other just seems like, in real time,
absolutely
seems
yeah.
like an essential element of creativity, and yet it's something that we're missing so often these days.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you brought up Periscope, because I totally forgot to mention that they are also one of our anchor tables, so Periscope will be represented both days. And they're actually, because they have so many artists and folks working with them, they can kind of bring in a whole bunch of different voices from kind of around the city, and it's great to see that. And you can see it in action at Linework.
Well, Sam, you're doing, as we said, you're doing a lot of development of festivals and small press kind of visibility. So what other work do you do with artists to really, you know, empower them? Because artists nowadays, they're being asked to work for free. They're being asked to work for exposure. And it seems like if you're going to bring up the whole community, you need to bring up every artist one at a time.
Mm-hmm. The community is growing at an exceptionally rapid pace. And actually, we're going to have a panel about the kind of modern realities of, you know, maintaining your finances as a comic artist or an illustrator. And that includes things like Patreon. And of course, Kickstarter has played a huge role in this. So figuring out not only how can I make the best book possible, but how do I tell people about it has been a challenge that I really like helping people figure out. And I think shows like Linework or SPX or TCAF or MoCA, which is this weekend in New York, if you're in New York, you know, these are spaces where you don't need to be a big deal. You just need to put yourself out there, and making sure, I would say for everybody that wants to be an artist, a comic artist or an illustrator, make sure that your contact info is really easy to read on your website and have a few samples. That's it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you have also poster people and people who sometimes are looking for illustrators. You'll have some of those at Linework as well.
Of course, absolutely. It's as Anthony said, networking. It's all about networking, and it's a great place to network there.
So obviously, you have a lot of people who have webcomics out there, and you have publishing online, publishing on demand. You've got YouTube and Vimeo for animators. It seems like a double-edged sword, you know. On one side, there's so much more access, but on the other side, you know, you're not necessarily getting people dropping $5 on a DVD or a comic book, that sort of thing. It's a tricky new world to navigate.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of the artists that will be at Linework are definitely folks that have webcomics and have content online. But as we talked about, you know, there's nothing that really beats paper in your hand. And so it actually provides an opportunity where they have printed their, you know, digital works, and then you can buy it there and maybe give them money that way.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us, Sam, tell us once again how people can find out about the events that Linework's going to be doing starting next Thursday through the weekend, and, you know, some of the highlights and how people can get in touch.
Absolutely. So you can go to lineworknorthwest.com. It's going to be April 18th and 19th at the Norse Hall, which is on, it's about Northeast 11th and Cooch on the east side, of course. Maybe not, of course. But yeah, we're going to have Fantagraphics and Oni and Dark Horse and No Brow and a lot of great folks from around the country, as well as, of course, Daniel Klaus, Lisa Hannawalt, Lisa Congdon, and Jay Howell as special guests. So you can kind of go to lineworknorthwest.com and find out about all the parties and the events and everything. It's going to be a really fun time. We want people to have fun. I mean, that's kind of the whole point of this.
And there's beer.
And there's beer. And Anthony, book launch, Powell City of Books on Burnside tomorrow
night.
10th of April, and with a creativity workshop.
Well, it's going to be a panel discussion. We're going to do a Q&A with myself, Farrell Dalrymple, and Jennifer Parks of Pony Club, who they both contributed. And so they're sort of representing for the artists there. And that's at Pal's tomorrow night at 7:30. And then if you're curious about DIY magic, I encourage you to go check out my website, anthonyalvarado.net. I've got a free sample up there right now of the first chapter, so you can try it out for free. Just download that. And then also, yeah, I'll be at Lineworks on the 19th. I'm really excited about that and looking forward to it.
Well, you've been listening to Words and Pictures on KBOO. I'm your host, S.W. Konser. And our guests today live in the studio have been Sam Marks, the co-organizer of Line Work Northwest Comics and Illustration Festival, and Anthony Alvarado, author of DIY Magic. Anthony and Sam, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Konser. It's been fun.
Yeah, this has been great. Thank you.
And thanks to all of our listeners on the radio dial and at KBOO.FM. You can find an archived version of this show later at KBOO.FM/WordsAndPictures. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at Words and Picture. Now stay tuned for an afternoon of music on your homegrown Portland radio station.
It's time for the KBOO News at Noon for Thursday, April 9th, 2015. A high court in Pakistan has ordered police to file criminal charges against two U.S. officials for their role in a drone strike 6 years ago that killed a number of civilians. The officials are Jonathan Banks, the CIA's former station chief in Pakistan, who left the country in 2010 after he was exposed as a spy, and John Rizzo, the former general counsel for the CIA. According to the Pakistani government's lawyer, this means that the families of those killed in drone strikes in Pakistan now have a right to proceed in similar criminal actions against the CIA. In local news, a bill introduced in the Oregon legislature this week would limit the use of solitary confinement in Oregon prisons for people suffering from mental issues. The bill was introduced by Senator Chip Shields from Portland. It will require the state to ensure that in